and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me today is my co-host, Nate Eckert. Nate, we are now a few games into the season, feeling good. Minor league baseball, at least the AAA, has started. Life's not too bad, is it?
Not at all. And today was the opening day, today being Friday for whenever everyone hears this. Today is the opening day for the rest of the minors, I believe, except for the rookie league. So also very exciting stuff. As I tweeted earlier today, I look forward to this day more so than MLB's opening day.
Yeah, I mean, for our episode or for our show, definitely the case. But you know what? The MLB has a lot of guys that are on our top 100 list, and we're going to talk about them today. We have sort of a breakdown of all the prospects and their starts to the season. And you know what? We might as well go over some of the AAA guys as well. And if we have some time, I think we will have some time too. We're also going to go over some buy low prospects. I think this is a good time of the year. Prospects that for one reason or the other are maybe falling down on people's lists, whether it be they didn't make the team when we thought they might have out of spring, or perhaps they don't have a good spring, or maybe they're just not making the jump that we thought. Whatever it may be, we have a couple of buy low candidates that you could probably get on the cheap for your dynasty leagues and maybe even some redraft leagues. I know some of mine that I have curated here are definitely some buy low for dynasty leagues as well as redraft. So we'll take a look at those. But Nate, we got to get started on this right away. We have a load of prospects that are making their MLB debuts. And if they're not, they are, you know, in their first full season out of the gate. So let's overreact, shall we, Nate? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready.
Nothing better than a big overreaction in these parts of the woods here. I think that's what prospectum kind of is in a sense. We have to be careful of overreacting and also underreacting, not reacting in time. So when it comes to these guys, they are a delicate fine wine that we need to know when to open, i.e. when to sell, when to buy, all that good stuff. So let's just start right at the top. I have this list sorted by the most at-bats in the big leagues. And so it just so happens most of these are pretty high-end prospects. But a couple of guys I want to mention. I think one guy to discuss right off the bat is Victor Scott. Victor Scott, the speedster out of St. Louis. He was, you know, 80 grade speed. I mean, maybe even 90 grade. We might have to invent a new number for him. He is insanely fast. And yes, it's on full display. You just go onto Twitter and you'll see it, you know, multiple highlights. I mean, this guy's hitting cheetah speeds, but he's striking out at 30%. He's hitting 100. He has one stolen base, and he's 23 years old. So you have the Ferrari, but you're trying to drive it in an off-road rally race with Subarus. What are we doing with Victor Scott, Nate?
Knowing the way that the Cardinals deal with their prospects, I don't think Scott has I mean, if they weren't so banged up in the outfield right now, I don't know that Scott has a whole lot of ABs left in him. Remember what they did to Jordan Walker last year. Hell, they may do it to him again this year. St. Louis is quick to draw on demoting these guys. And you know, it worked out for Walker last year and it could work out for Scott this year. It's unfortunate because I really did think that this kid was going to come up because he's not really a kid anymore. Even though 23, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he's a young man, but he's not, you know, like a 20-year-old, and he's a lefty in the box, which I loved. I invested in him in my redraft league. I picked him up. I think that was my first move this year. So it's a bit disappointing just you know, to see the huge difference between Major League Baseball and AAA. And right now I'm holding. I think that's what we're going with, right? Like a sell, buy, hold situation. So I'd hold, but not for a whole lot longer. His leash for me is until Sunday. If he doesn't show me a little bit of something over the weekend, I want to see like a couple of hits at least in one of these games. Multi-hit game would probably salvage him on my squad. But if another guy came around that I was really stoked about, I probably would give him the hook pretty quick.
Now, with Victor Scott, the strikeout rate is concerning to me. I thought, you know, he's going to put the ball in play and use the speed to get on base. But if he's not making contact, it's a little scary. So yes. What about this? If you're in a dynasty league and for whatever reason, you have to choose between Victor Scott and Estery Ruiz, who do you think you got going forward in a dynasty league?
I'd stick with Scott over Ruiz. I was never that high on Ruiz. He has speed, but I feel like he's kind of got the same. I don't think that Victor Scott will have down the line as much problem getting on base as he is right now. I think he's overextending himself, and he's trying to play hero ball. He's trying to do too much, go 5 for 5 in one at bat, and you know, which is a natural thing for these kids to do. Ruiz has had an entire season in the bigs. I don't. It's Oakland. I like Scott more.
Now, you said you weren't high on him, but you also predicted that in your bold predictions piece that he'd steal 50 bases last year, and you were right.
I was, yes.
So, what do you make on a complete tangent here about the fact that Victor Scott is still up hitting 100? With no major league experience, and Estery Ruiz is sent down to AAA despite hitting over 400 this year and having 57 stolen bases last year in the big leagues? What is your take on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's wrong. I don't think that's the right move. I mean, if the guy comes out and steals that many bags for you the year before, I would just expect him to improve upon his stats and just his overall acumen the next season, especially because he's been one of your top prospects, well, ever since he was traded over from the Brewers. But, I mean, Oakland is such a, like, what's that phrase, garbage fire right now, you know?
Dumpster fire.
Thank you. They really don't seem to have any like idea as to what they're doing on any level anymore. I mean, it's just like, get out of Oakland. They don't even care about baseball anymore. It's like, you know, the fans hate them. The owners hate them. They hate themselves, you know.
It's an interesting discussion. I think that they're very similar players. I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. I don't think that we've seen the best of them yet. So if you can buy low on them, stolen bases are, I think, going to be still at a premium. I think last year we saw a nice increase in them, but I do think we're going to kind of come back to the mean a little bit with stolen bases, and these guys that can steal 50 to 60 will still be insanely valuable. So don't give up on either of them. That was not the point I was trying to make. Let's go ahead and we'll move on to a couple more guys to discuss. I mean, we have a couple of sample size here. What about Wyatt Langford? Gets the job out of spring training. Has a couple of highlight reel plays off the bat here, but no homers, 240, no stolen bases. What have you seen so far about Langford? And are you encouraged with him for this season and beyond?
Yeah, you know, like we're overreacting, right? But again, I'm holding if I have them, and I'm buying if I don't. Wyatt Langford's going to figure it out. It's only a matter of time. I haven't looked on Savant because Savant hasn't had any of their updated stats yet up until ding, 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 tonight, actually. So I would assume that if I looked up his hard hit rate right now,
I do have it in front of me. It's not bad, but it's not great either. Hard hit rate is high. But some of the other things you'd want to see are a little bit lower. His expected batting average is actually lower than his actual average. The sprint speed hasn't been like off the charts, although that might not be registered yet because it says it's low. So I can't imagine he's slow. So that's probably wrong. Mm-hmm. But line drive percentage is low. Fly ball percentage is okay. Like, it's okay. It's nothing crazy. So not much to take away. But again, I think you're right. Nothing to really worry about here. I just thought, you might have a crazy opinion one way or the other, but it seems like stay the course with this guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about, let me go ahead and get back to my list here. What about the debut for Jackson Merrill? Let's talk about him for a second.
Ooh.
Merrill.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, tough. It's a tough debut for the first of all. Let me go ahead and give you my thoughts on Jackson Merrill. Mm-hmm, so, 20 years old. Let's not forget. But what an ask for the Padres. We're gonna ask you to go and make your major league debut in a foreign country with all the people watching, but people that aren't. I mean, let's be honest. If you weren't a Padres or Dodger fan, you probably didn't watch that game.
No. A lot of us. Not an American, at least.
Yeah, and so, he goes 0-3 in his debut, then he goes 2-5, then he comes back to the States, has spring training, and then goes back to the major league season to start at, at home in front of the fans, and he's had a couple of poor games, a couple of nice games, does hit his first home run, no stolen bases, playing a new position he's never played before. I mean, this is such a crazy ask for Jackson Merrill that I'm almost offended if you, Nate, are going to say that you're over Jackson Merrill and it's time to sell on him. Like,
No.
There's no way that you could be too disappointed in what he's been doing so far.
No. In fact, Alex, I'm going to jump on that piggyback and tell you this. Right now, Jackson Merrill is 41st in Major League Baseball in barrel rate. Now, granted, he's had three barrels, but that right now is good for 41st overall. He's sandwiched right in between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Nelson Velasquez, but also Josh Young was the next one, and that's another story. Terrible, terrible injury, but that's a different topic. Merrill is in good company right now. That's for damn sure. Because he's hitting the ball really well. You're right. It was a crazy ask. And he's sitting, Tatis Jr. sitting 40 in barrel rate. Merrill is right there, right beneath him at 41. And you will not find a bigger analytics guy than me as far as barrel rate and expecteds and all that stuff is concerned. I believe that they are so far more telling than batting average and all the old ones. But just looking at it right off the top, I mean, the kid has a ton of talent, and I think it's already starting to show itself in the bigs. So buy.
Yeah. I think Merrill is a nice buy. I think there might be a little bit of an opportunity too, especially like East Coast leagues. I don't know, like, if that's a good way of going about it, but like, if you haven't really watched Merrill play for,
Right.
West Coast, East Coast, the Japan games or whatever, he's doing fine. He's doing great. And I think he's got a long leash out there in San Diego, shortstop eligible. I have him, you know, in my leagues, I have him plugged in at shortstop as a 20-year-old. Just enjoy the ride. 10% walk rate as well is pretty encouraging. For the amount of things he's been asked to go through in San Diego, is certainly pretty crazy. All right, definitely. Let's go ahead and move to some guys off to hot starts and see if what you think about that. So I've been on this podcast the last couple of weeks saying I just don't see any way that Jackson Churio can fail. And alas, here he is hitting 350 with a stolen base and a homer and batting all over the place for the Brewers, playing some, you know, exciting defense out there in the outfield. And 20 years old as well. So Nate, I don't need to be convinced, but I want to know if you're pretty convinced with Churio's start, or do you think this is sort of a flash in the pan for him and that he's getting a little lucky at the plate?
Nope. I am 100% on board with Jackson Churio. And I'll tell you a few reasons why. In my redraft league, because I won last year, I traded away a lot of early round picks. And so we get to keep five guys in that league. I kept Bobby Witt Jr., Corbin Carroll, Evan Carter, and a couple other guys. And I knew I was going to have to get an impact bat in my first round, which was the eighth round. And Churio was my very first pick this year in the eighth round because I had listened to you this entire time, Alex, and I just hedged my bets, basically. Like, I hadn't watched Churio a ton. I wasn't really ever, like, that immersed with him. And this is why it's unfair. It's unfair because I hated the Ronald Acuna comps because I don't believe that we'll see another Acuna for some time. This is close to it. It's like Acuna June, like Acuna bait, like light. But this is what I do want to say about him. And I have some notes here. His MLB debut in his very first at bat, hitting leadoff in New York City against the Mets. How many people have dreamed about this moment, right? He goes in as the leadoff and sits on four straight balls.
That was sick. That was so good.
He spit all over those pitches. I mean, what kind of ice is running through that kid's veins? You know, you go in there and all you want to do is impress, yada, yada. But as a 20-year-old, to have that type of maturity to step in on, you know, opening day, you're the first player out there and you just sit on four straight balls. My God, you know, the pitcher thought he was going to chase. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But he didn't. And I right then and there, I thought, whoa, okay, well, that's different. I mean,
it's an advanced approach, right? Even I think, like, if I'm going to be the glasses half full devil's advocate person here saying, okay, he went up there thinking that he is going to take until he sees a strike. And that's why he didn't swing. Even that scenario is still like light years beyond what a 20-year-old top five prospect would usually be thinking in that situation. Even if you got to like 2-0, like, I know me personally, right, as a 20-year-old, right, be like, screw this plan. It was good. Got me to 2-0. And now I'm going dead red. Let's go.
Yeah.
So exactly. The fact that he had a plan, if that was the case, and went through with it is extraordinarily encouraging. And to put on top of that, the at-bats, he's not crushing the ball. It's not like he's sending rockets all over the place. He's, you know, a couple of singles here, and then of course the home run wasn't like a missile, like when I that stupid Mets fan gets in my head because I always talk about the Braves here and I feel bad about it, but when Ronald Ronald Acuna hit his first home run, I mean, that was an absolute bomb.
Yeah,
that bullet went like 500 feet. Yeah. And now Churio didn't quite do that on his, you know, it was kind of a wall scraper, but the at-bats he's having and like the fact that he is putting the ball in play, leading off, he's just a fantastic player and he's only going to get better. So you can't really buy low on him and or anything, but
yeah. Man, just one last thing on Churio. I just looked him up again. Now you have to remember this is, the sample size is only 14 batted ball events, but you know, it is what it is. It's not like we can bag on these guys for not having a big sample size. Right now in Major League Baseball, he ranks 55th overall in barrel rate, 9.5 barrels per plate appearance.
Yeah, certainly very encouraging. Again, I just don't see how his skill set's going to be unsuccessful. Like, I can see how a Victor Scott is going to be initially unsuccessful and stuff like that. I can't see it with Churio. Let's also move on to one of the, one of the boldest takes you had, I think, Nate, that perhaps I didn't react to enough, was how many strikeouts you predicted Jared Jones to have, which was like
220.
It's just insane. And like, after thinking about it, I thought, wow, I should have really questioned you about that. And then Jared Jones goes out there and strikes out 10 in his debut, and he pitched tonight as we're recording, struck out 7. So he has 17 strikeouts in his first, 10 innings, 11 innings or so. Yeah. So maybe you're not too crazy after all.
Yeah.
What have you seen so far from Jared Jones and his two starts? Now, he has given up some runs, a couple of walks in there. What do you think so far about the two starts from Jared?
The second start, the one that he had today, was against a good hitting
Orioles.
Thank you. And Gunnar went yard, solo shot, and one of the other boppers went yard, solo shot. So I'm okay with that, and here's why. So long as he's not putting guys on base and he's staying in the strike zone, which he is, he's attacking guys, 99 in the zone by you, right? I mean, just peppering the strike zone with his stuff, because it is blow away stuff, no doubt about it. And if he's going to give up a solo shot here and there, I'm completely okay with that, so long as those solos don't start turning into 2 and 3 runs, because those are the suckers that are really going to kill you. You give up a 3-run shot, I mean, that's a blown everything right there. But if you give those boppers, I mean, he kept them in the game. He ended up getting a quality start against the Orioles. He only gave up those 2 runs. He had 7 Ks. To be honest, he looks better than I actually really was expecting, like deep down. Like, I've always clouded up this kid, but to watch his confidence on the hill and just gas it at 90 and then be able to throw in that nice little slider, he could do it tight or he can do it a little bit looser. And he has a changeup. I mean, the sky's the limit. I just hope he doesn't blow his arm out, but he's been undersized and he's been like this his entire career. He has had injuries, but who hasn't at 23, you know, starting pitcher in Major League Baseball in the, you know, first couple of starts. I just hope it doesn't happen this year, you know, or for any year for that matter. But very impressed. Very, very excited because, like I said, I put everything on Jared Jones, but I'm really happy and really excited to see it all come into fruition.
Yeah. So, just in that same game, Grayson Rodriguez, I think, might win like 25 games this year. That Orioles team's really, really good.
Really good.
That was a nice buy low you had, I think, on Grayson. Months or years ago now, but another pitcher, and this is going to be kind of the Nate show, because this is another guy that you're very familiar with. And it's Gavin Stone. He is worth discussing because if you look at the start, you know, five innings, six Ks, gives up a couple runs, gives up a lot of hits. But as the Dodger fan, I'm sure you saw this and you can inform the people. A lot of those hits were mainly because Max Muncy sucks and pretty weak hits, to be all said and done. And the thing that was really encouraging was the changeup looked absolutely disgusting. So you actually are kind of happy if you don't have Gavin Stone that it wasn't off to a great start. And perhaps you can go and acquire him because he's one of the biggest buys right now for me in all of Dynasty in terms of pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, he only had one walk. His ERA is a little bloated because, Max Muncy. But there was a lot of weak contact. And let's see here. That was on the 31st. One second. Let's just see how many hard hit balls he had. Should only take one second. Dodgers, here she is. Okay. I'm thinking four.
I think it was something like six hits were under a certain threshold of miles per hour off the bat. That was just crazy. Right. So it was not a lot of hard hit balls. That's the point. Even if you can't quite get that up, but
it's right here. Let's see here. Okay. Two.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Two hard hits. So yeah. I mean, he got through five. He had seven hits, two of which were actually, I don't even know if those were the two hits because you get that a lot. Also, you get like grounders that are the hard hits, you know. But 85 pitches and, you know, he limited the walks. I like it. And especially off of that last spring game where he was at 10 through 5, had 10 Ks. Yeah. So. Buy on Gavin Stone also because that changeup, he throws it to lefties and righties too, which is, you know, and more impressive also, I think, is his ability to just spot that 95, 96 mile an hour fastball, which on the surface doesn't look like it's all that great. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's nice. He can locate it. But because he can locate it and because he plays it off of that changeup, so well, I mean, it's a devastating combo. If you did the overlays like Pitcher's List and Pitching Ninja, I mean, ugh, disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I can't echo that enough. Gavin Stone is in for a big year, and it's almost great for you in Dynasty Leagues, again, that don't have him because you might be able to acquire him for a little bit of a discount based on, you know, last year and the fact that maybe they didn't quite watch the game. Let's go ahead and take a break here. I still have a lot of other names I want to discuss, and I know we promised some buy low prospects, which I think maybe we can incorporate a little bit as well. But let's go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come back. I have a few more names I want to discuss with you. We have to discuss the AAA Orioles affiliate because those guys are in a different stratosphere.
Man.
So we'll discuss that. Couple of buy lows will maybe throw out your way as well, but we'll be right back. Futures Focus with you. Stay tuned.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we are back here with you, and my name, Alex Sanchez. Nate Eckert with me here. We are going over some of the starts for the top prospects in all of Major League Baseball, both in the majors and as we are going to transition here a little bit. Well, I have a few other names I want to talk about, but I just want to talk about these Orioles prospects because, you know, I had you do some homework and I did some homework about some buy low candidates in the prospect realm. And a couple of these guys are going to kind of fit onto this based on their start that they're having, just because they're not quite in the big leagues yet. And so you just take a look at the AAA Baltimore Orioles, which I should know what the affiliate is. It is Norfolk. So this lineup is going absolutely bananas. And it's led by Heston Kjerstad right now, who is hitting a cool 571 with five homers. And he had a 10 RBI game on
April.
April. Yeah, let's go back. April 3rd, goes 5-for-7 with four runs, two home runs, 10 RBIs. And then the next day goes 2-for-4 with another home run, three RBIs. Mm. I mean, this guy seems very upset he didn't make the team.
Yes.
Before I hand it off to you as well, though, Connor Norby, who is on my buy low list and will always be now and forever because I love him, also off to a crazy start, 393 with three homers. You have Kobe Mayo, who hit the farthest home run I've ever seen in my life the other night. If you haven't seen it, go on Twitter, look it up. It probably went 650 feet. Yeah. And all of this is to also include Jackson Holliday, who's hitting a cool 393 as well. I mean, this is insane. Where do we start with these?
Yeah.
Let's start with Heston Kjerstad. This is an insane start. I mean, what do you do with him going forward?
I mean, I find whoever's not hitting, you know, the cover off the ball and the bigs and tell them to sit out a few games, and I bring up Kjerstad. I mean, that's just – the kid cannot do anything more at the minor league level to prove to the Orioles that he's MLB worthy. He just can't. But I think the same could be said for all four of those guys that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
So really and truly, what do you do? Well, I would get on the horn and start making some trade offers like yesterday, because the longer these kids are in the minors, the worse things are going to go, as far as the more opportunity they have to hurt themselves and the more, you know, they get in their own head, like, why the hell haven't they called us up? And I mean, and the Orioles, remember last year, and we bring this up a lot, but it's worth bringing up because it's like, what in God's name are they talking about? With Grayson Rodriguez, and they were like, what was the quote, Alex? Do you remember? With the
he didn't come to spring ready or something like that. Yeah, that
yeah, it was just terrible, and it kind of opens your eyes to the organization and that GM as a whole, like. You guys have to understand what you're sitting on right now, right? Like, I know that there's a weak spot in that depth chart. I don't have it in front of me. But, I mean, Kjerstad, he looks like Superman out there right now, right? And he did everything he could in the spring. All of them have. And they're just begging, waiting, like salivating to get on that roster. I would start making some trades immediately and get these kids up stat.
Yeah. Nate, don't get too mad at the Orioles right now. It's very clear what's going to happen. I can just go ahead and tell you exactly what's going to go on in the future here. Okay. You have Ryan O'Hearn, you have Ramon Urias, and you have an Austin Hayes. So those guys are going to be gone, relatively shortly speaking. You're going to have Kobe Mayo there at third in like a couple weeks. You're going to have Kjerstad there at DH in a couple of weeks. And I still think that Norby is the odd man out, and that he gets traded at some point for some pitching. And then you'll have Jackson Holliday come up, and maybe, I don't know, Mountcastle goes to left, or somebody goes to left, and Kjerstad, and they're all going to get in the lineup very, very shortly. So it's going to work out fine.
Good. Good.
You can't buy low on him, I don't think. I think Norby is a buy low. He's on my list of buy lows here just because he's the forgotten one. Everybody sees the highlights of Kobe Mayo and they see Kerstad and then they see Jackson Holiday. Like, of those four that we mentioned, Norby is clearly the lowest, like, valued from most people, I'd imagine. And I love him so much. So you need to get him somehow, in my opinion. But this is all going to work out. Ramon Urias is hitting like zero. He literally is hitting zero right now. And he's been playing like four out of the first five games for them. I don't know if he played tonight. I'd have to look. And Austin Hayes got hurt, but even he's hitting 111 right now. I like Austin Hayes, but he can be the sacrificial lamb in this lineup as well. And Cedric Mullins kind of has to pull his weight together here too. He's going to be gone too. So there's going to be lots of room for these guys. They're going to be up soon. Don't worry.
That's my good point.
Good. Let's go over a couple other non-Orioles guys here that are off to crazy starts. One guy, I'm going to cheat a little bit and go over my buy low list at the same time. But maybe if you can do that too. I don't know if that's possible. But Matt Mervis out there in Chicago, off to a nice little start there. I think that he is a guy that you need to look at. Not off to like a home run barrage or anything like that, but he's getting on base at a 400 level. And your guy, Michael Bush.
Yeah.
Kind of struggling a little bit.
No. He snapped it.
He came off cold and then he had three hits last night. And so, never mind. So Bush is going good.
And today he went yard. Okay. Against the Dodgers in the first game back against the Dodgers. That was great.
Excellent. Okay. So maybe there isn't as much of a I saw Bush's start, which was like 2 for 18 or something like that. So So he found it pretty nicely. What about as I sorted by the home run leaders, it's all Orioles guys except for Joey Aluperfido out there in Houston, who has four home runs, but also a 43% strikeout rate. So some good, some bad. A guy that last year hit 24 home runs, stole 24 bases, lower batting average. Houston, nice place to be in if you can get into the lineup consistently. So he's a guy that I think a lot of people either like or have never heard of. I think that's like kind of where you're at. Like if you've researched him, you probably love him. And if you haven't, you're like, that guy's a nobody. So just a couple of a piece of advice. The other home run leader, if I sort by here, now it's two, so we don't get too crazy. But it's Everson Pereira for the Yankees.
Hey, now, your boy.
I like him. Yeah, hitting 300, two homers. He was on my buy low list as well. A guy that there was an outside chance maybe he would make the team. He made his debut last year, was horrible, but off to a good start this year. So he's a guy to keep in mind. A couple homers already. I guess it's time to transition. If we could here at the end, maybe I kind of cheated a little bit and went over some of my buy lows. Who do you have on your list of perhaps buy low candidates or guys that you're interested in based on their starts to the beginning of the year, either in the majors or minors? What do you think?
Who I really like right now is just because of their start. Now, I don't know that I had anybody previously written. One of them. But this one just kind of came to mind just a second ago. Tyler Black, that guy is in fuego right now for the Milwaukee Brewers third baseman. Let me get up his numbers. I think it was like 398 he was hitting. 1 second here. Let me pull it up. may have to cut this later, Alex.
Keeping it in. Now, you're right. He's hitting. I don't know what he did tonight. I don't have his stats up tonight, but he was hitting over 300 with a lot of at bats. And a guy that I've kind of went out and said he's going to have a big year. So really like that. And a guy, again, that, you know, in Milwaukee, they're always searching for offense. It feels like, I think I've said that, you know, multiple times on this podcast. You got, you know, Joey Ortiz, you got, I forgot his first name, but I know Dunn, who is the, I forgot his first name, but I'll have to look that up too. But, you know, they're, Tyler Black kind of could have made the team. You had Sal Frelick out there. So yeah, that's a really good buy low that maybe perhaps people aren't paying attention to, but he's a really good one as well. Oliver Dunn, that's the name I'm looking for.
There it is. There it is.
Brewers. Another Dunn, Blake Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that I'm all in on. He's having a pretty decent start as well.
I've seen him all over Twitter lately with all the bombs he's been hitting.
Yeah. Owen Casey's another one. Zdeny Rafaela making some plays out in center, performing okay. Not. I mean, we never thought he was going to hit too much, but he's kind of off to a great start as well. I guess we should probably, it's only fair to mention all of the prospects that we can in the majors too.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's, you know, they're there.
I've been impressed with Rocchio getting a lot of playing time for Cleveland. He's going to be okay this year and maybe for the next couple of years, nothing special, but kind of a Swanson, Dansby Swanson, like, you know, he's going to just keep getting better and better. Mason Miller came out throwing gas the other day, looking nasty in the closer.
Yeah, Mason Miller.
Don't know how long they can keep him in the closer position out there, but we'll see what they do. I know I'm missing somebody else. Who was the other guy I was thinking of? Go to the majors here. Graham Pauly hit his first homer. That was fun to see.
Oh, hey now.
Mason Wynn hitting 350 for the Cardinals. I saw Brandon Crawford in there a couple times though as well. It's frustrating. Colt Keith off to a slow start, did have a nice hit off of a lefty there in Detroit. It was Garrett Crochet, who's phenomenal, by the way.
Yes, he has. Yeah, but he does. He has looked pretty damn good, isn't he?
Yeah. Nolan Chanul hitting 188, but also setting rookie records for most consecutive games on base there in Los Angeles for the Angels. Now.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Evan Carter went 0 for 15 to start the season.
Yes, that's true. That is true. But today,
he hits today.
Two for four.
And managed to somehow score five runs. Despite the fact that
and has a steal and an RBI, five runs, a steal and an RBI, even though his average is zip.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, right? Really, that's not bad.
Very impressive.
So I still believe in him, obviously. Parker Meadows, I've been really disappointed in. I'm a little worried about him. I liked him a lot. You know, I thought he was going to get a lot of playing time, but we have, you know, 1 for 15 to start the season. I'm not sure what he did tonight. I'll have to look up that. But a little scared about him. Detroit just kind of feels off to me with Torque and Riley Green and Colt Keith and Parker Meadows. Just like, ugh. I feel like they've also had some bad weather and some delays, some weird things.
A lot of their seasons get started that way because of the weather.
Yeah, well.
But Riley Green hasn't been doing too bad though.
No, he had a horrible start. I think he was 0 for his like first four games or something, and then had a home run and a couple hits lately. Max Meyer had a decent start there in Miami. It was nice to see him just kind of get through five innings. With four Ks, two walks. Mm-hmm. A couple of hits given up. I think that's pretty much Joel Boyle, who I kind of was like a sleeper guy for me, got racked. I didn't like to see that. Or Oakland.
Yeah.
To kind of look through this. Anything else? Anything else? I don't know. I think that's, you know, another kind of buy low guy I had was Noelvi Marte and his suspension. I feel like if you can get Noelvi Marte, go and get him.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Anything else? I don't know. I'm just kind of, we're kind of going all over the place right now. I apologize that, but there's so much to go over. I didn't want to miss anything. So I tried to do a little rapid fire there. But
Kate, I got a few buy lows for you here.
Let's go. Let's hear them.
Christian Scott for the New York Mets, right-handed pitcher, on quite a bit of different lists as being a sleeper for perhaps a call up in a month or so, something around those lines. I would assume the first pitcher to go down in New York this year is going to be replaced by Scott. He's already started out. Let's see here.
Four innings, gave us 9 strikeouts, but gave up.
Four innings. Yeah, he gave up 3 runs, but 9 Ks. I mean, this is the type of guy that you're going to get. You're going to get a really high strikeout rate. And that was just his first start. He killed it in the spring. He looked incredible in the spring. So, I would invest in Christian Scott. You can get him in damn near any dynasty league, I would have to assume. Another one that I really love is Henry Lalanne. I don't have any numbers for him yet because he may have started today as the number one starter for low A New York, but I don't know any of that for sure. But I do know that this kid is very exciting and you can buy him for literally nothing right now, probably in most leagues. First or second rounder, a year or two. Yeah. Last year, 2022, I believe, lefty. He's like 6'8". Just look him up and thank me later. Luis Morales, who I've talked about before, buy low, Cuban pitcher in the Oakland organization, did excellent last year, 3.49 ERA with the 1-1 whip. Flew through 4 levels in his very first season as a pro starter. So he comes over from Cuba. He's 21, 6'3". Great frame. First year pro ball, he flies through 4 levels, ends up in double A, and only got better for every stop. Cade Povich, lefty starter for the, once again, Baltimore Orioles. This kid struck out 5 over 6 scoreless innings of 1-hit ball in AAA for the Norfolk Tides, Orioles number 9 prospect. I like this kid a lot. His ceiling is very high, and you could probably get him for a song. Justin Crawford, another one that's under the radar. Not too many people still to this day, even though he made the top 100 list, know about him, but I do, and I will continue to push Justin Crawford upon everyone until he comes up. But last but not least, and this is one of them who I probably believe in the most. And when I say that, that's always a really good thing, because when I really believe in somebody, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be who I think they are. And Jackson Ferris, who was traded over with that Mike Bush deal, from the Cubs to the Dodgers. He's now with arguably the best pitching development system in baseball. And he came from IMG Academy, which is just a factory for lefty high school high ceiling types. And this kid has got the ceiling of an ace, perhaps more like a 2. a two starter, but I'm really excited to see what he's going to do in his first full year with the Dodgers, coming off of a really good season last year. So again, Jackson Ferris, just like Ferris Wheel, do yourselves a favor and get on that waiver wire or find whoever's got him and offer him whatever. Just, you know, offer him anybody you want. Just see what happens. Get that juice flowing. Because you're really going to love the product in the end. Thank you.
Yeah, great names there. I really like that. And Kate, you actually kind of reminded me of a few other names to kind of finish off here. So we mentioned the AAA affiliate Norfolk for the Orioles. You mentioned Cade Povich, who I really, really like, off to a great start. The guy actually that started before him and has two starts under his belt already is Chase McDermott. Now, he walked five guys in both of his appearances. We won't talk about that. What we'll talk about is that I do think he's kind of the first guy up for the Orioles, and I'm just going to invest in this Orioles team now and for the next 5 years whenever I can. And he's a guy that you could get, I would imagine, on the cheap. Luis Gil, which if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's spelled G-I-L for the Yankees. He is, kind of took a step up in terms of the stuff in spring and had a very nice start where he went five innings, struck out six, did walk three, gave up a run. But he looks nice out there and a guy that maybe people aren't fully aware of. I know in a lot of leagues I had him just because Yankees pitching prospect always kind of catches your eye and then he hasn't done much. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's the fifth starter. So I didn't even really know I had him in a couple of dynasty leagues. Like he just kind of on the back end of my roster. Maybe you can go ahead and sneak him onto your team as well. And one other guy that I think we should mention that is, I think, one of the prime buy low candidates right now. I know you like him. It's Jackson Rutledge for Washington. Had seven strikeouts. It's AAA. It's the Nationals. You got to imagine that they want to see what he can do soon. 6'8 monster.
Huge.
Coming off of a year where, you know, he did make his debut last year. Didn't go great. But I love those guys that sort of have that cup of coffee and then come back and dominate the next year of kind of like that fire under him. Guy that you could get probably off of waivers in a lot of leagues. In fact, I'm looking at him in the Highlander league with all of those, you know, with Chris Clegg and all those guys, Eric Cross, James Anderson. He's free agent. So
wow. Get him, Alex.
I should probably go. It's the Nationals though. God, they don't help me have a lot of confidence, but yeah, I mean, I actually might go get him, put a bid in for him, see what happens there. So, I think that's going to do it for us here. We are in the midst of it now with all of Major League Baseball up and firing. Spencer Strider is going to go get an MRI, so I'm going to go cry myself to sleep tonight. That's going to be nice. But otherwise, it's a great time of year. Happy to have you guys back with us. Maybe we missed some of you in the off season, and you're just now getting back with us, hoping to get those dynasty leagues and get ahead of your league mates with our podcast. So welcome back. If you're coming back, we'll be here kind of consistently throughout the rest of the season. And
very consistently.
A lot more to talk about. We'll kind of keep updated on all those double A, single A guys, all that good stuff moving forward. So my name is Alex Sanchez. With me was Nate Eckert. This is Futures Focus. Thanks for listening. We're out.
Peace.